Today on Real Radio.
He paid for our sins dead on the cross, and then he confirmed our salvation by rising from the dead. But he will fulfill and complete all, body, soul, and spirit, when we enter eternity. In the meantime, God, his spirit is at work within us. And four things you might want to consider. He is changing our attitudes since we've become a Christian. Have you noticed that? Our attitudes are changing. The way we see things, the way that we perceive things. He's been changing our attitudes. The second thing is our priorities. Have you noticed that? Before you were a Christian, what did you spend your money on? Where did you spend your time? What were your pursuits? Our priorities now are new. He does this. Third thing, our goals. Our goals are different now.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John. We're looking at the second half of chapter 16. Jesus is headed for his execution and yet still takes out the time to talk with his disciples. He gives them some advice as well as some warnings, and in the ears of his disciples, some mixed signals. Perhaps they didn't understand how God was at work. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
We can't handle religious duty. It's got to be of God. We get all goofy about it. Well, you know, I've been giving a lot of money to this effort. Sacrificed. Put a lot of nickels and dimes into this. Is this the thanks I get? Oh, I see. You did it for you. Rather than giving it unto the Lord. It's all his to begin with. Well, I've been working the children's ministry and changing those diapers. What? I thought you did it for him. And by doing so, you think you've bettered your position with God? No. Do you think that I am somehow closer to God because I've had to prepare this message and pray for this message and deliver the message? No. We are all on the same level with the Lord. We are all sheep of his pasture, aren't we? Don't think for a moment that the ones that are more visible perhaps are somehow, look at Billy Graham. He probably can get away with some stuff because he's Billy Graham. God doesn't think like that. It's not that way at all. No, it's by God's grace. And the grace that he extends to me is the grace that he extends to you. It's the grace that he extends to the world. Salvation is the Lord. He does it. The Lord is the one. And it's all by his grace. The Bible says in Romans 3:20, I love this in the Amplified Version. Listen carefully. Romans 3:20, Amplified Version. Understand this. No one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what the law has commanded. For the more we know of God's laws, the more obvious it becomes that we are unable to obey them. God's laws serve us only to convince us that we are sinners in need of his saving grace. Isn't that beautiful? That's what that law was there for. Not that we could do it. Jesus fulfilled the law, and then he imparted the benefits to us. Isn't that great? You know, I don't know if you got that thing in the mail yet, but I don't know who you voted for in the presidential election. But I got an envelope in the mail the other day, and I'm glad George Bush won. I got $600. Didn't you get your $600? You're going to get it. Now, I don't know how you voted, but I guarantee you right now, you're glad you got $600. Well, I didn't vote for the guy. Ooh, $600. Kind of has a way of shutting you up. I'm kind of glad about that. And I'm my refrigerator, it's there. And on the envelope, I wrote, thank you, President Bush. It's there, $600. This guy's going, what's $600? What? It's given back. It's given. Okay, technically, that was ours to begin with. And it's given. But the thing is, it wasn't coming to us, and now it came to us. Now I can walk around and say, oh, it's my $600. It was given to me. to get it. I did nothing, really. It's amazing. God gives it. Listen, salvation is performed by God. Second point, verses 19 to 20. God is at work, and his work that he's preparing us for is for us to dwell in heaven. Verses 19 to 24. The scripture says here, now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. And so he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said a little while, and you'll see me no more, and then a little again you'll see me, and because I go to the Father? Assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. What's he saying? When he says this to every believer, every one of us who are believers, this is what he's saying. Hey, guys, first of all, you 11 guys that are standing in front of me, here's the deal. I'm going to be going away. The world has no idea what I'm going to be doing. In fact, you poor guys don't get what I'm going to be doing here in a minute. But here's the deal. I'm going to go away. You're going to cry. You are going to weep. And the word in Greek is to weep aloud like a baby. He could have used a more subtle word for crying. These guys are going to weep like a baby yells. That's the word that's used here. And the world will rejoice. All right, we got rid of Jesus. Somebody finally shut him up. Now let's get back to what we were doing. Get these Christians out of here. Get these Bibles. And isn't that the world that you and I live in right now? Shut down the Ten Commandments in public places. Close up your Bible. You can't wear a Christian shirt on a school campus because it's religious. And you better not mention Jesus' name on this campus unless you're going to curse his name. Then you can mention his name all you want. But the moment you say, the Lord loves you, or let's pray in Jesus' name, you're going to get removed from campus. But if you say Jesus Christ this, or ask God to damn something or the other, that's okay. Amazing, isn't it? The world hates Jesus. And Jesus is saying, listen, the world is going to rejoice while you guys are crying, but it's only for a moment, because I'll be back. And so, they borrowed the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And I love how that story goes. They go to Joseph of Arimathea. Can we borrow your tomb? Yeah, sure. You know, what's the whole thing for? What's the deal? It's for Jesus. Oh, so you're only going to borrow it for the weekend. Isn't that great? It's only for the weekend. Yeah, you can use my tomb. It's only for the weekend. Jesus is risen from the dead, and the world panics, and the world's been panicking ever since. You can walk into any place today and say, hey, hallelujah. That's, you know, I love Easter Sunday morning. We should do it all the time, but Easter Sunday morning, we have a little bit more boldness, don't we? And we leave the sunrise service, and we go to a restaurant. Praise the Lord. Hey, give me a hot chocolate. Jesus is risen. Have you noticed we do that? All of us do that on Easter morning. Everybody does it. Everybody's just like, yeah, he's risen. And people on another table, he's risen indeed. And everyone's, yeah, ah! There's this boldness about it. And people are like, oh, you know, it freaks out the world. The fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's telling his disciples, listen, the whole point is that I want you in heaven with me. And ultimately, yeah, a little while you won't see me, and then again you will see me. Isn't that true about us right now? If according to Peter, God counts one day as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day, isn't it any moment now that he's going to come and pick us up? Amen. A little while you won't see me, and then you'll see me? Oh yes, Lord, please today. We're going to be baptizing, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred people today after service. And I'm thinking, oh, I hope the water's warmer. But the rapture could happen on the way down to the baptism. Or what's happening tomorrow for you? You got to go to the doctor tomorrow? Did your car blow up? What's going on in your life? Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I say that with tongue in cheek when I saw this week, as you may have seen on the news, where we've seen in the last several days almost a couple thousand of your brothers and sisters that you'll live with in heaven, you'll see in heaven forever, that were killed by Muslim extremists in the Sudan. They were beheaded and their hands and feet were cut off because they would not denounce Jesus Christ as Lord. And so just this week, nearly a couple thousand beautiful black Sudanese Christians went home to Jesus this week because they would not deny him. Listen, Jesus is going to tell us in verse 33, in this world, you will have tribulation. You'll have difficult times. See, difficult times, cutting your hands and your feet off, letting you bleed to death, cutting your head off, difficult times. Listen, the good news about Jesus Christ in our lives and our hope of eternal life in heaven with him forever is that you can only die so long. And then you're in glory. A little while, you won't see me. And then again, you will see me. We either get raptured today or we could rupture. It's either by rapture or rupture, and we could go into eternity today, and who are you going to see first? I think you're going to see his face going, hey, come on in. You didn't think you were going to make it, did you? Well, I got a place for you. Come on. You think we're going to go to, I don't think that we're going to stroll in. We're in heaven. I don't think so. Last time I read about heaven in the Bible, it's loud up there. There's instruments. There's angels shouting. There's guys, the 24 elders. These guys are hilarious. Every time the angels bow down and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, those 24 elders, they're throwing their crowns. Whoa, what? Oh, yes. And they're throwing their crowns before the glassy sea of God. When does that happen? Every time those four seraphim shout, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And the Bible says they cease not day and night to do it. I don't think it's going to be tiptoeing around up there. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to blow our minds. I am so glad that heaven, Paul said, is beyond human capability to imagine it or to articulate it with human words. That's what I want to hear. Because if it's something kind of like Disneyland, the beautiful thing about what God is doing in our life, he's preparing us for heaven. And you want to know this. When we get to heaven, and the ultimate or the completion of our redemption is the day that you and I die and enter into eternity. That's the ultimate. That's the completeness. He paid for our sins dead on the cross, and then he confirmed our salvation by rising from the dead. But he will fulfill and complete all, body, soul, and spirit, when we enter eternity. In the meantime, God, his spirit is at work within us. And four things you might want to consider. He is changing our attitudes since we've become a Christian. Have you noticed that? Our attitudes are changing. The way we see things, the way that we perceive things. He's been changing our attitudes. The second thing is our priorities. Have you noticed that? Before you were a Christian, what did you spend your money on? Where did you spend your time? What were your pursuits? Our priorities now are new. He does this. Third thing, our goals. Our goals are different now. How did that happen to you? Isn't that funny? Look at you. You once used to think one way, and now you think a different way. You have a different attitude, and your goals are different. How'd that happen? He's at work in you. And then number four, attitude, priority, goals, desires. Hey, man, your passions are in new places. And you want to honor God. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Bible says that we are being transformed into the same likeness of Christ from glory to glory. That means it's a progressive, practical sanctification in day-to-day living. That's wonderful to keep in mind. Our third consideration is this, as we look to verses 25 to 28, and that is God is at work, and it means that we have privilege. All right, listen up. Everybody wants privilege. Don't say you don't, because you do. Everybody wants privilege. There are privilege, or privileges extended, as basic as a civil courtesy, privilege. By the very nature of the government and the culture that we live in, there's things extended by privilege that way. Maybe by age, there's privileges that you have by age. But then we can think more beyond that, where there's privilege by, say, birthright. And there are those who maybe you have royal blood. You're what's called a blue blood. And you're linked, you know, to the Queen of England. Or somehow George Washington or whatever. It's a, ooh. You know him? He's got some of George Washington's blood in him. Ooh. Whoa. Whoa. Where does he live? Oh, he lives over there. And you drive by his house. He's got George Washington's blood in him. What's the deal? We begin to do this to ourselves in this life. You know, he just won the lotto. He's worth millions. Who is that guy right over there? Oh, yeah, really? Oh, where's he live? He lives over there. And you drive by. Oh, he's worth millions. What's with that? With privilege in the world often comes corruption and abuse of power. With Christ, with our life in him now, we have privilege. And it's a beautiful thing to consider this. We have been adopted into the family of God. This is amazing. Yes, we've been born again, but we've been adopted. Don't raise your hand, but if you've been adopted, you're very special. I mean, when my mom went to the hospital, she had to have me. I mean, she had to have me. She didn't have to keep me, but she had to have me. When she went in that room, it was a one-way ticket. But it's an awesome thing when somebody walks down a hallway and picks out a child. I'll take that one right there, somebody might say. What a privilege. And God says in the book of Romans to us, chapter 8, that we have been adopted into the family of God, whereby we cry out to him, Abba. That's Hebrew for Papa, Daddy. Daddy, the creator of the universe sends you a Bible that says, call me Daddy. Papa. That's what he wants you to call him. Isn't that amazing? We want to be so formal. God says, forget that. Well, we want to have our status. Forget it. You've been adopted. I've been adopted. If you've called upon the name of Christ, it's only true because he's adopted you. He picked you. Do you have a desire this morning to call out to Jesus? It's because he picked you. Adoption grants great privilege, and we have it. How so? These things, verse 25, Jesus says, I've spoken to you in a figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. Can you mark that down, verse 26? This adoption brings privilege, and what is it that we are to ask? God the Father in Jesus' name, and we are going to miss it, and I have to confess I did too until I meditated on this and studied it. Keep this in mind. The Jew approached God naturally very fearfully and very carefully. For a Jew to talk to the Father was unthinkable. He had to find a mediator. He had to find a connection. Jesus, Christians, are you listening? If you're a Christian, you got to be listening to this. Wake up. Are you with me? Listen to what Jesus says concerning these privileges of adoption. He says, from here on out, I'm going to tell you something. In that day, you will ask, that is, you'll talk directly to the Father in my name. In other words, I'm going to give you this card. It has my signature on the bottom. You fill it out, and you mail it to God. And he'll read it personally because it's got my name on it. You don't have to talk to Jack or Billy Graham or Chuck Smith or the Pope. You can talk to God. God says, in fact, you know what God's phone number is? Anybody want to know? You want to get ready to write it down? It's very cool. It's 1-800-JEREMIAH-33-3. Jeremiah 33:3. Call me and I'll answer you. Jeremiah 33:3. Call me and I'll answer you. God is waiting for you to talk to him. Based upon what? On adopted privileges. That Jesus Christ died for me, brought me into the family of God. And Jesus now introduces to his disciples, you will talk to God yourself in my name. Is that not what your Bible says? We are to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Not only that, look at the latter end of verse 26 down to verse 28 regarding the unity that this privilege brings. I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you. Mark that. I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I've come forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Do you get that? You don't need me. Jesus is saying, up until this time, I've talked to the Father for you. Because I'm going to go into, are you guys with me? Are you guys so quiet? Help me out here. I need some help. Because I'm going to go into that place for a little moment, and I'll be back in a little moment, that work that I'm going to perform for you, when I'm done doing that, you will be able to talk to God directly in my name. You don't need to go through anything else. And for the Jew, this blew that little yarmulke, you know that thing? It's just like, it's off the top of the head. It's like, wow, we can talk to God. And you and I, we think, well, we talk to God anytime we want to. We are so privileged. What a remarkable unity this brings into our lives. It's fantastic. Exclusion is wicked, but unity is of God. When the church begins to fragment and divide, there's no unity in that. And how can we say that we love this brother and hate that brother, or love that sister and hate that sister? You can't say that and expect unity and relationship with God. You can't be in unity with God and hate your brother. But if you want to be like the church at Corinth, where they had factions, they had a little group in a sanctuary like this, this section over here, this is the Apollos. The Apollos section. They had banners, Apollos, he rules, he rocks. Over here, they had the Apostle Paul region area. That's the Apostle Paul. And those people were like, we read tons of books all the time. This group over here, they were Peter's group. And they had food everywhere and fish. You know, they're Peter's group. And then there was the worst group of all. There was a group at the church at Corinth that said, we're of Christ. They were the worst ones. All those people, they're losers. The Peter guys and the Paul. We're of Christ. We're the big ones. We're the arrogant, division, factions. No, unity. Jesus Christ died to provide for us unity. It's got to happen, you guys. And the Bible says that we need to work on that unity. I love the fact that in this church there are people of different colors, different status levels. The good thing is you don't even know it. You know what's fun? If there's a ministry to be done, and I watch this because I know people, this guy's helping out and he may be a millionaire working right next to a guy who can barely pay his rent. The beautiful thing is their status in life is not the point. They're serving another in the body hand in hand. There's a person on this side who is very shy. There's a person on the other side who's very bold. But together, they're reaching out to do this certain thing in the church, and they're arm in arm. What's my point? That nowhere on earth would they ever come together under any other circumstances except the name of Jesus Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, explaining just some of the ways our Lord works in the lives of His people. It's a study simply called God at Work, part of our teacher's study series through the Gospel of John here on Real Radio. And if you pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, you'll be able to access archives of Real Radio and get caught up. Or if you'd simply like to become a podcast subscriber, you can do that as well, at no charge. So log on to realradioactive.org. Remember, Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial participation. So we ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our phone number, area code 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And remember, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, you can find it easily at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.